to work in school after a holiday weekend washout. Governor Mikey Sherrill may have gotten what she wanted as ICE agents clash with protesters at an immigration detention facility in Newark. Wildwood police shut down a pop-up party at a rented beach house. Rutgers shuts down a campus fraternity amid allegations of hazing. Good morning, everyone. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is off today. He will be back with us tomorrow. Jen Ursillo has your news updates. Bob Williams and Jill Myra with traffic every 15 minutes. Board op Kathy and producer Thomas are behind the scenes. Chief meteorologist Dan Zero says we're finally going to see some brightening skies after a wet holiday weekend. What did you wind up doing all weekend long? Because there really, even though Dan had suggested maybe we would get some late Sunday into Monday clearing, it really remained dreary. I don't think other than to take the dogs out, we spent more than a few minutes outside all weekend. I cooked all weekend long. Lots of leftovers. My son came over. He's got the leftovers. And we kind of treated it like a winter storm weekend. It was just one of those things where, you know, we opened up a couple of bottles of wine. I made a roast beef roast. And then we had sandwiches off of that. I did turkey. I did my mom's baked bean recipes. And thanks again to the listeners who were able to locate a pot very similar to my mom's baked bean pot. So that was a lot of fun this weekend. And then come to find out that there was a lot of stuff going on in Newark. And there's a lot to unpack with this story. There is a hunger strike going on at Delaney Hall, which is an ICE detainment facility in Newark. It has been the source of a lot of strife and protests. Governor Mikey Sherrill and a bunch of New Jersey's Democratic congressional delegation showed up on Monday at Delaney Hall. Mikey Sherrill tried to get access to that facility and was denied by ICE. And it was shortly after that that there was a confrontation between ICE agents and protesters that were on the scene. Now, by all information, Sherrill was gone by the time that happened. But New Jersey's congressional delegation, at least a couple of members of them, had remained, including Senator Andy Kim. At one point, tear gas or pepper spray or some type of irritant was deployed by ICE agents. Kim was felled by some of that. There's video where you can see he's being treated for something. Doesn't look like he was hit directly, but it may have been just some residuals. And there were armored vehicles that were rolled out to try to keep protesters under control. And so my question to Mikey Sherrill and to the Democrats and Newark Mayor Ross Baraka, who showed up there, is what did you expect was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen? Mikey Sherrill, since she became governor, has embraced anti-ICE policies, has become the subject of a lawsuit, both personally and New Jersey as a whole, by the Trump administration, as she tries to restrict ICE activity in New Jersey. And I will say again, what did you expect was going to happen? And as we've talked about here, as we've talked about on Jersey Thing, as Bill and I have discussed since Sherrill took office, you're almost goading people into confrontations with ICE to be able to fit your narrative that ICE is bad and just snatching people off the street. And we got a taste of that in Newark on Monday. If you're protesting and you see elected officials show up, their mere presence is kind of egging you on, is it not? The governor put out a statement saying, "My request for access to Delaney Hall was formally denied this morning, raising serious questions about what they are trying to hide from public view." The governor said what she heard from families and advocates was heartbreaking. "The people inside Delaney Hall are fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, and members of our community. In New Jersey, we believe in the rule of law and that everyone deserves to be treated with basic dignity. We have a duty to safeguard the rights, health, and well-being of everyone within our borders," the governor said. Part of that statement doesn't jive with what her policies are. "In New Jersey, we believe in the rule of law." All right, well, the individuals that are being detained in Delaney Hall are in violation of the law. And we have only their family members and their communication to say that the conditions are inhumane. Are they being provided food? Shelter? Are they being provided water? Are they being provided the basic human needs? By all accounts, yes. Is it a country club? No. Nor should it be. A place where you are being incarcerated should not be a country club. And the end result of what we saw yesterday was violence. Violence on the part of the protesters and a response by ICE, which I think was an incredibly measured response given how volatile that protest looked like it was heading. What do you think? 1-800-283-1015. Is this exactly what the governor was hoping for? Maybe. Fits her narrative. 6:15, we'll get an update of weather and traffic, and then we'll keep unpacking this on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Yo, what's up, New Jersey?
Looking for something that's so Jersey? Tune in to Jersey Thing with Eric Scott. Weeknights at 6 on New Jersey 101.5. Presented by RWJ Barnabas Health and supported by Parks Casino and Earth Treasures Jewelers. Eric has fun diving into what makes Jersey tick. From the lighthearted quirks we love to the important issues that matter most. Join the conversation at 6 p.m. and watch anytime on YouTube. Jersey Thing with Eric Scott on New Jersey 101.5. Because nobody does Jersey like Jersey.
It is 6:22 now on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is back tomorrow. And we're talking about Governor Mikey Sherrill and others who showed up at the ICE detention facility, Delaney Hall in Newark, on Monday. And if you think this was not a political stunt, here's the difference, right? Congress does have oversight responsibility over federal facilities. And they are entitled to conduct an inspection. So whatever you may or may not think of Senator Andy Kim, he called Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen at DHS to verify that he would be allowed into the facility on Monday to conduct his congressional oversight responsibilities. And the Department of Homeland Security confirmed that in a statement. Kim was hearing from some of his constituents that there were atrocious conditions inside, and he wanted to go check it out, which he's entitled to do. And he could, in theory, have showed up unannounced, but he did call the Department of Homeland Security, spoke personally to Secretary Mullen, and said, hey, I'm going to show up on Monday. I'd like a tour of the facility. Governor Sherrill has no such authority. And knew, there is no way that she did not know that she was going to be denied entry by ICE. And a spokesman for the Department of Homeland Security in a statement says Governor Sherrill's visit to Delaney Hall is nothing more than a political stunt on Memorial Day when visitation is currently suspended due to riots outside of the facility. That may be a mischaracterization of what was going on. It was a relatively peaceful, though loud, protest up until about that point. But as soon as the governor and the congressional delegation showed up, all that does is empower the protesters to continue. And eventually ICE had to roll out and do something about it. And whether it was mace or tear gas or pepper spray or something, they did deploy something. You can see in some of the video that is posted on social media, people throwing things at ICE agents. And as I've asked multiple times before, what did you think was going to happen? And you can see even in a lot of the photos that were posted either by news media or on social media, people with their cell phones out. And who's encouraging them to video what's going on? Governor Mikey Sherrill even set up a state-sponsored web portal so that you could upload video. Frankly, I'm surprised that things didn't get out of hand on Monday, because it very quickly could have, and that would have fit the narrative. So you can argue that Senator Kim, who is a Democrat, was responding to his constituents and wanted to see conditions inside Delaney Hall for himself, which he is entitled to do as a United States senator. Governor Mikey Sherrill has no such authority. And she showed up as part of a political stunt to generate headlines and to give her additional ammunition to be anti-ICE. You agree? You disagree? And what do you think should be done? Check out the story and look at some of the raw video at NJ1015.com. On Memorial Day, a day when we honor our fallen military, Mikey Sherrill decided she was going to go stand up for illegal immigrants at Newark. So if you have a question about where her loyalties lie, you only need to look at the political stunt that unfolded in Newark. We're going to get an update of news, weather, and traffic with Jan Gentle. Have the latest on this, but also a new wave of grandparent scams have been hitting victims in New Jersey. We'll tell you how to guard yourself against that. And then coming up after we get an update of news, weather, and traffic, we're going to take a quick look down the shore and see what was going on, even though it was pretty much a washout all weekend. There were more horses than there were people on the boardwalk in Wildwood. And it appears to have worked, although Wildwood did shut down another one of these pop-up parties. We'll talk about that. It's 627 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. 38 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us tomorrow, 1-800-283-101.5. We're talking about the 300 detainees at Delaney Hall that are on a hunger strike, protesting harsh conditions while they are being detained by immigration officials. Governor Mikey Sherrill was among those that showed up on Memorial Day, Monday, at the facility. She was denied entry, which she knew she was going to be denied entry. And DHS calls this nothing more than a publicity stunt. And I'm inclined to believe them. There was no way that she was going to gain access. And even U.S. Senator Andy Kim made the call to Mark Wayne Mullins at DHS saying, hey, by the way, I'm going to show up on Monday. Can I have access? And he does have regulatory authority. As a congressional member, he has oversight over federal facilities. But he made that call. I bet you Mikey Sherrill didn't make that call. Tony and Brick, you're on New Jersey 101.5. What do you think, Tony? Was this a publicity stunt?
Yes, yes, it was. And I'm outraged. I had several relatives who were veterans, including a first cousin who was killed in Vietnam. That day, Monday, was to honor the men and women who sacrificed their lives to give us what we have today as Americans, and she made a mockery of it. I ask all veteran groups to send out a statement denouncing what she did for her own political needs and gains. She created a hostile environment for the federal government at that facility, and I said it before, she is a domestic terrorist. She only cares about herself, not America. And again, I lost a first cousin in Vietnam, and that day was to honor him, and she made a mockery of it. Shame on her.
Well, Tony, I appreciate your sentiment on that. I mean, look, more than 1.3 million Americans have died in war. And yesterday was the day that serves as a solemn reminder on the sacrifices of those who gave their lives in service to the United States. And if you were a veteran or you've lost somebody in war, I can understand why you would be offended. Sherrill's visit to Delaney Hall yesterday was a political stunt. And I don't know how you can classify it as anything other than that. Pam in Warren County, you're next on New Jersey 101.5. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Eric. I think there's no question about where her loyalties lie. There never has been from the beginning. And her behavior, and I think just about every aspect of her behavior, has just always been a political stunt. And to be honest with you, I am so embarrassed about the so-called elected officials that we have in this state. We had a governor that claimed he was hiding an illegal alien above his garage. And now we have this one. And what I saw yesterday of the video of these people at protesting President Trump at Arlington Cemetery was a disgrace. And I also had my first fiance when way back in the early 70s was killed in Vietnam. And not just he, but everybody else, and even previous wars that died for this country, needed to be honored and not treated the way that they were yesterday. It's inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, Pam, I tend to agree with you. I mean, that is the meaning of Memorial Day. It is a reflection on the sacrifices who gave their lives in service to the United States. And look, it is a right to protest. It is your right to protest. And I fully support peaceable protests. And if that's really what yesterday was about, then I'm okay with that. But they were waiting, almost goading those protesters into a confrontation with ICE. It did not end as a peaceful protest. There was a clash. And frankly, I think the ICE agents showed tremendous restraint. And the mere presence of Governor Sherrill and the mere presence of Newark Mayor Ross Baraka and the congressional delegation, and I will even give a pass to the congressional delegation. So you had Senator Andy Kim, Congresswoman Nellie Poe, Congressman Rob Menendez, Congresswoman LaMonica McIver, who's already facing charges for assaulting an ICE agent the last time she showed up, Congresswoman Analia Mejia, and others showed up. Now, if you are a congressional member, you can agree or disagree with their positions on this, but they do have the right of oversight and to tour the facility. What were they protesting? Well, I mean, take some of it with a grain of salt. Kim specifically said he heard from a pregnant woman who wasn't receiving prenatal medical care, another woman who miscarried while being detained in Newark. He talked to an 18-year-old high school student who was being detained and not allowed to graduate. I don't know that any of those things are true. And then you have Mikey Sherrill saying, in New Jersey, we believe in the rule of law. No, you don't. Only the laws that fit your narrative. Because if you are in the United States illegally, you are in violation of law. That gets left out of her narrative. 644 on New Jersey 101.5. 1-800-283-1015 is our telephone number. We'll continue to unpack this. If you want to have a comment on this, I would love to hear from you. And look, if you're involved with a veterans group and this offends you, I'd like to hear from you as well. Why couldn't this have been done on Sunday? Why did it have to be done on Memorial Day? And then, oh, by the way, I've got some good news to share with you. A little Jersey pride, little nugget of Jersey pride that might make you smile on this Tuesday. That's coming up after we get an update of weather and traffic. Bob and Jill and Dan in 3 minutes. It's 6:45 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Listen live anywhere in New Jersey. Stream New Jersey 101.5 at NewJersey1015.com or on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Jersey's news, talk, and weather. Always with you. Powered by Hackensack Meridian Health.
6:53 on New Jersey 101.5. Wrapping up this conversation on Governor Mikey Sherrill's political stunt showing up at Delaney Hall, the immigrant detention facility run by ICE in Newark. She did post on her Facebook and Twitter pages a remember and honor post for Memorial Day, but spent far more time with a lot of photos of her visit to Delaney Hall, where she knew she was not going to be allowed access. And not everybody on the app chat agrees, although Alan in Farmingdale writes, just when you think you can't get any worse than Murphy, we have Cheryl, who puts detainees in priority over our fallen heroes on Memorial Day. What a pathetic display of priorities. And then Jackie and Neptune with the exact opposite. We have the best governor ever, took her Memorial Day to protest obscenely inhumane conditions at Delaney Hall. Thank you, Mikey. New Jersey is proud of you. You might be in the minority, Jackie, although I don't know. But here was a bit of good news, and I want to thank, who was it? Ron in Rockaway brought it to my attention that there was a big win for Princeton University as they prevented Notre Dame from winning its third men's lacrosse championship on Monday, scoring 11 unanswered goals in the first half on the way to a 16-9 victory in the national title game in Charlottesville, Virginia. This is the Tigers' first men's lacrosse national championship since 2001, the seventh title in program history. So congratulations to the Princeton University Tigers. They are the NCAA men's lacrosse champions this year. Jen is going to have the latest on those anti-ICE protests in Newark when she updates news, weather, and traffic coming up here in about 5 minutes. And then, have you ever been the member of a fraternity or a sorority? Rutgers has shut down another fraternity house, the second in a year, over allegations of hazing. We'll talk about that after news, weather, and traffic in 5 minutes. It's 6:55. Good morning.
Start your day with Bill Spadia. Keep it going with Judy and EJ. Ride home with Dubinsky and more. We're New Jersey 101.5.
Parks Casino, New Jersey. Chime time is 7:09 on a Tuesday morning. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us tomorrow. 1-800-283-101.5 is our telephone number. Rutgers University has shut down another fraternity house. If you know anything about this, I'd love to hear from you. Or if you've been a member of a fraternity or a sorority, what was it like on campus? I never did, never joined. Rutgers, New Brunswick, a fraternity has been ordered to immediately cease all operations after the university received a report of alleged hazing. They ordered Kappa Sigma Fraternity to halt all operations pending an investigation into the allegation. Now, we do not know who made the allegation. We don't know what the allegation involved. A spokesperson for Rutgers said that there was no response by police, that police had not been called to the frat house, and that nobody was injured or hospitalized, or at least there were no reports of such in connection with the allegation. The fraternity's national organization has also been contacted by Rutgers. The president of the national organization said in a statement that operations of the chapter are suspended pending their own investigation. This is eerily similar to the incident last October. In that case, a 19-year-old student was critically injured during an alleged hazing incident at Alpha Sigma Phi. The investigation is still kind of going into that, and there have been civil claims that have been filed, but that frat house was shut down. Atrocious conditions were found inside. And according to what is in NJ.com this morning, the Kappa Sigma fraternity has had a troubled history at Rutgers. The alumni website lists that it lost its charter twice since 2000. And I don't know really what, having not belonged to a fraternity or a sorority, I don't fully understand the value. I don't fully understand the value of that. I mean, when I think about that, you know, I think about movie portrayals, right? And if you got something out of being a fraternity member or a sorority member, I mean, I do know there are some people that made lifelong friends, and I'm sure not all of them are bad, but I don't understand the point of them on campus any longer. Have we kind of outlived the usefulness now of fraternity and sorority houses? And I understand the need to, you know, have a brotherhood or a sisterhood or whatever involved in that. But does it really serve any purpose on campus anymore? And should we just kind of do away with it altogether? There are isolated incidents on campuses all over. I mean, is it really just a club for drinking now? And do you need a frat house to be able to do that? You know, I mean, at least in my generation, friends of mine that belong to fraternities, I mean, they still get together at least once a year for a weekend of drinking. Is that the main purpose? I mean, I guess some of them, if they're more exclusive, can they open doors for you to get a first job, or does it help you in your career? I don't fully understand the purpose any longer. Especially, you know, if you've got incidents of hazing or other, you know, unpleasantness going on in those houses, is that really where we should be focusing our youth as they go off to college? Now, neither of my sons pledged a fraternity either. And what's involved in doing that anymore? If you have some insight and you want to share it with me, I would love to hear from you. 1-800-283-1015 is my telephone number. But here was the case in Rutgers, where they have shut down a fraternity in the second hazing case this year. And I don't know, pending the investigation, if we're going to find out what went on. I mean, it certainly doesn't sound like it's as bad as the incident last October, where you had an individual who was critically injured. You have a spokesman for the university saying there were no injuries or hospitalizations reported in connection with the allegation. And we also don't know who made the allegation. But all activities at that frat house have now been suspended while they conduct an investigation. It is 7:15 now on New Jersey 101.5. It's been a rough early morning commute. Bob and Jill have the latest, and Dan has an update on the forecast in 3 minutes. It's 7:15 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Spring in New Jersey means real conversations with real New Jerseyans. We're New Jersey 101.5.
7:22 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us tomorrow. 1-800-283-1015. Rutgers University in New Brunswick, they have ordered a frat house to immediately cease all operations after they received a report of an alleged hazing incident that marks the second such incident this school year. In the one last October, an individual was critically injured inside a frat house that was ultimately shut down. Don't know the details on this one yet, and we may not. But what a spokesman for the university did say was that there were no reports of injuries or hospitalizations, and that campus police had not responded to the frat house, which is on Union Street in New Brunswick. But in the meantime, the national chapter is investigating, Rutgers is investigating, and I don't know what the point of fraternities or sororities are anymore. I think their time has passed. Are you a member of a fraternity or a sorority? How did it help you? Did it help you get a job? Did it just help you make friends? But we continue to see these types of stories. So maybe it's time to just get rid of that all together and just not bother having frats or sororities anymore. And a disclaimer, I was never a member of a fraternity. Neither of my kids were. Now, I do have some good friends that are around my age. So, you know, keep in mind how many years ago that was, that still have reunion weekends and things like that. But it sounds like it's just nothing more than a place to go and drink. And can't you do that in your dorm room anyway? Can't you just go out to a bar or a club? I don't understand the point of the frat or the sorority system anymore. And if there are incidents where students are going to be injured, then maybe it's time just to get rid of that all together. 1-800-283-101.5 if you want to chime in on that. Jen will have more details of this story coming up here in just a couple of minutes. If there are any gardeners out there, Sandra and I are having a real issue with something on our plants, and we've tried just about everything to get rid of them. And if you have a suggestion before we take the full nuclear chemical warfare stance on them, but we get these little tiny white flies, and they swarm on all of the flowers, and I can't figure out what they are. They don't, somebody said they're a white fly, but they're tinier than that. And I think last year when we were talking about other invasive species and pets and pests in the garden and on some of the plants, somebody had recommended neem oil. Well, we've done the neem oil, but I have these, I guess they're boxwoods, along my walkway at the front of the house. I sprayed some neem oil on that boxwood. The white flies that came off of that boxwood, it was like a cloud. It almost looked like fog. That's how thick they were. So think about that. Drop me a comment on the app chat or even give me a call if you have a way to get rid of them. If they are the white flies, they're killing the plants. And particularly the limelights we have that are beautiful around the patio, but these things will destroy the plants. And I don't, if there's a holistic or organic way to doing that, I would love to take a look at that. 1-800-283-101.5. In the meantime, we're talking about these fraternities and whether or not their time has passed. And whether or not it's time just to get rid of the fraternity system in general. Because you have Rutgers for the second time in a year shutting down a frat house over allegations of hazing. And as I said, I've never been a member of a frat house, so I don't really know what goes on there. Scott on 295, you're on New Jersey 101.5. So Scott, you were going to join and then you didn't. What happened with you?
No, well, I was part of the pledge class.
Okay.
So the night of what they call the pinning ceremony, they had the pledges, you know, in the house consuming alcohol as part of a celebration. And, you know, as a result, one of the pledges died by the next morning from, I guess, alcohol
poisoning.
Yeah.
So,
you know, when I listen to you on the air and this issue being discussed, you know, all these decades later, because I'm talking about this incident late 1980s.
Yeah.
It seems to me that, like, you know, why is it still an issue? Why can't these colleges and universities, you know, get better training or education for members of the fraternity and sorority systems or the faculty or put better safeguards in place to prevent people from getting hurt. You know, I'm not putting all the blame on the fraternity system or the school. People have to take individual responsibility, but I look at it that I was 18 years old at the time, and quite frankly, I didn't even know you could die from alcohol poisoning, right? I wasn't a drinker. I hadn't really done a lot of that before I got to college, so it never even really crossed my mind.
Well, and Scott, I think that's part of the issue, right? I mean, if that's really all we're doing at this point, then what's the point of a fraternity or a sorority? It just sounds outdated to me. 728 on New Jersey 101.5. Let's continue the conversation, if you can hang with me through the news. Which Jersey town is cracking down on tinted windshields? Jen has the details in 2 minutes. 7:37 on New Jersey 101.5, Tuesday morning in the Great Garden State. How you doing, everybody? I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us tomorrow talking about Greek life and whether fraternities and sororities really have outlived their youthfulness. Rutgers is shutting down another frat house after an allegation of hazing. This follows that incident last October where somebody inside the frat house was critically injured in what is a suspected hazing incident. And, you know, it just doesn't sound like this is something that we should be supporting on our college campuses any longer. John on the Turnpike, thanks for hanging on through the news. You're on New Jersey 101.5. What's your thought about these frat houses, John?
Hey, good morning. Appreciate being on.
Sure.
I went to Rutgers, and I graduated in the mid-'80s. I was president of my frat when I graduated, and I think that, you know, I look at this a lot differently than you do. I think that many of the kids, when you were in school, you know, make some, you know, questionable choices and can get in trouble. And I'm not sure what exactly happened with this latest incident. Doesn't seem like there's details. But if you look at my frat, you know, first of all, you know, we ended up not having a national by the time I was there. So not only did we all learn how to work together, but we had to learn how to deal with the administration of Rutgers and the deans there, fraternity and sorority affairs. We learned how to police ourselves. We formed a board of control, so we supervised. All of the fraternities got together and policed themselves. We also learned how to work with the city of New Brunswick to make sure we were up to code with the fire safety. The guys that are in my group in that, you know, 5-year window or 8-year window that I still know are some of the most successful people I know, whether they're doctors, some of them are pharmacy industry CEOs. I think the experience we got was invaluable. So I think it paints a different story. There's a lot of different things, and sure, there are some times and some circumstances where things go awry, but I think that could happen to any group of students at that age in a college, you know?
Well, I have an open mind about it, John, and again, having never been a member of a fraternity, you know, I only hear stories. And then on the app chat, we have Karen in Flemington, who says, my daughter's boyfriend was heavily involved in Greek life during his time in college. All the stories he's told us, it seems like more of a money grab from the national chapters than anything else, talking about the amount of money that each of the guys who joined had to pay and then what they had to pay out to the national chapter. I mean, I never considered the money aspect of it as well. But I wonder, you know, John, if that was a situation where they would have been successful anyway, and is that because of the frat or in spite of, or is it incidental? Jen in Philly, you're on New Jersey 101.5. So, Jen, your daughter had a good sorority experience?
Yes. I just had a graduate this year from a small state college, and the other one will graduate from the same school next year. Both in sorority, both separate sororities, different than one another. And I will say in the beginning, I was a little hesitant. There is a little bit of favoritism, picking and choosing, are you right for our sorority kind of thing. There's like an interview process. It does cost money. You do pay dues every month. It's almost like a car payment. But I will say that I don't know that my first child would have stuck through 4 years without finding those people, especially in small schools. I think it's really important to find your people. And if you're not involved in sports or a club, that sometimes it's hard to find your way at that age. And as far as the fraternities go, I have heard that at smaller schools, if you're not part of a fraternity, you're not getting into parties. It's harder to make friends. I don't agree with hazing. I do know in this small state school in PA, there was hazing, but it wasn't involving excessive drinking. I mean, they were doing silly things. You have to come clean our house. You got to carry our books. Go talk to that girl. This kind of stuff. But I would say that in a big way, sororities have really helped my daughters through college, and I believe probably are now lifelong friends.
Well, I mean, then that's certainly a benefit. And I'm glad to hear that story, Jen. And thanks for sharing that experience with us on New Jersey 101.5. Again, I've got an open mind about it, but it seems like the only time that fraternities or really fraternities, you don't hear much about the sororities, but the fraternities are in the news is not for something good. It's for something bad. And it involves hazing or excessive drinking. Or, you know, we had the caller that shared the story that one of the pledges in the 80s, when he was pledging a fraternity, died from alcohol poisoning. I mean, and look, I'm not prudish. I have consumed my fair share of adult beverages from my teens into this past weekend. But it just seems when you put a group of boys together, that are 18, 19, 20 years old, they are not conditioned at that point to make good decisions anyway. And then you add in the frat life and the alcohol and everything else, and it just sounds like it's a potential recipe for disaster. And that's why I asked the question, you know, have fraternities and sororities really outlived their usefulness now? And then you hear the stories about how you made lifelong friends and it's open doors. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's better policing. I will say, and you know I'm not a huge fan of the administration at Rutgers University, but I will say that Rutgers does seem to be relatively responsible when these incidents pop up. And I think given what happened last October, and now that there's another frat house that is under investigation for alleged hazing, that Rutgers is really kind of stepped up their policing of that behavior. It is 7:44 now on New Jersey 101.5. All right, so thanks to all of you who are dropping me comments on the app chat about these little white flies, gnats, whatever, that are threatening to destroy our landscaping and our plants. And Mickey, if you want to hang on, I'll take your call coming up. And would you believe now, on top of everything else we have to worry about in New Jersey, there are now jumping worms in New Jersey. They can jump up to a foot in the air. And what would you do if you saw one of those in your garden? We'll talk about that after an update of weather and traffic in 3 minutes on New Jersey 101.5 at 7:44. Good morning.
Want to save money, go green, and build smarter? The Energy Show with Ron Urban is coming to New Jersey 101.5. Ron breaks down green building, renewable energy, energy efficiencies, and the latest trends that can benefit your home and your business. Catch the one-hour premiere Sunday, June 7th at 7 a.m. Then join us every Sunday morning at 7:30 right here on New Jersey 101.5. Learn more at energyshowradio.com and newjersey1015.com.
7:53 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back tomorrow. You know, one of the things I love about this radio station and talking with you in the morning is there is literally nothing that I could ask that somebody is not an expert in. And I had mentioned just around 7:30 that we're dealing with these little white bugs that are swarming everywhere in our landscaping and our garden, and couldn't figure out what they were or how to kill them without harming, you know, our pets or pollinators. And immediately the app chat just filled up. And Mickey and Ringo's, you're on New Jersey 101.5. If this works, Mickey, I think this is a great idea. What's your solution?
Yes, hi, good morning, Eric. Okay, this might work. I used to be an avid gardener. I used to grow a lot of tomato plants, 26 okay. tomato plants. Anyway, what you might do, go to the grocery store and buy some garlic, you know, regular, like a big hunk of garlic, bring it home, wrap it in a damp paper towel, and put it someplace in the dark. When they sprout, stick the cloves near the plants in the ground, like you're planting the garlic. Oh. It works for tomato plants because it helps get rid of the blight on tomato plants. When the leaves turn brown, they look like they're dying.
Yep.
And also, you can sprinkle garlic powder on the plants and see if that works.
I am going to give that a shot because I have both. I have garlic bulbs and I have powdered garlic. And, you know, I want to try all of these things first because, I, you know, obviously we have dogs running around our yard, so I avoid pesticide. The neem oil, I know, is a natural that will not hurt the dogs. But I also don't want to hurt the bees or other pollinators with some of the harsher chemicals. So we'll talk a little bit more about that after we get an update of news, weather, and traffic here. And then, yeah, I got to tell you about these jumping worms. I mean, if I don't know what I would do if I was in my garden and all of a sudden this worm jumped a foot up into the air. We'll get an update on that. Plus, this horrible boating accident in Barnegat Bay. Two people are critical. Jen has the details in 5 minutes. It's 7:55. Good morning.
Spring days, hot topics. New Jersey's conversation lives here. New Jersey 101.5.
Parks Casino, New Jersey Chime Time 8:09. I'm Eric Scott on a Tuesday morning in the Great Garden State. Hope you're having a good day. It's a Tuesday that kind of feels like a Monday. But it was nice to see a little bit of the sunshine out there. It was such a washout this weekend. Didn't really get anything done outside the house. We pretty much treated it as if it was a winter storm. I mean, I stayed inside and I cooked all weekend. And it was really kind of cool. You know, the dogs are kind of passed out on the couch and, you know, they didn't want to go outside either because it was rainy and, you know, it was even a little chilly. I did putter around the garage a little bit and get the garage cleaned up. And, you know, it was a nice kind of casual, relaxing weekend where fortunately we didn't have anything scheduled. And if this is your week down the shore, if you checked in on Sunday, Dan says you're going to have a pretty decent week. A little stormy weather coming in maybe Wednesday, but then as we get into the next weekend, it looks like it's going to be pretty decent. So I'm looking forward to that. I just hope we don't get into this thing where we've actually had a spring. You know, there's been a couple of years recently where we really haven't had a spring. It was kind of dreary and cold, and then all of a sudden, bang, it's 90 plus. And I'm not complaining because I know just a few months ago we were complaining about the snow and the cold and the frigid temperatures and all of that. I'm not complaining. I'm just looking forward to a summer. And as Bill and I have talked, man, the time is just speeding by again. It's going to be 4th of July before you know it. And then it's going to be Labor Day, and then it's going to be fall. I'm not trying to rush it, but doesn't it feel that way? Why does the time feel like it is going so fast? Thanks again to all of you that have kind of chimed in on what to do with these little white flies or these little white gnats. I think Susan in Mullica Hill, she sent me a link. And I think, Susan, that's it. I think those are those little white gnats. And I'm going to try a couple of the holistic and organic solutions. Like Ron in Rockaway said, the 3% peroxide and water mix. I've been using the neem oil. But here's the problem. These things, they feed off the bottom of the leaves. And I don't know how to get the neem oil under the leaves. If I spray on top, they come out like this giant cloud. But I don't know how to get it. I don't have any way of spraying underneath the plant unless I literally pull each leaf one by one. But as if that wasn't enough, now I got to go home and dig in the dirt and see if I have these things. These invasive worms that have arrived here from Asia that can leap a foot in the air. And they look just like night crawlers. They look like a normal worm. Now, I love worms in the garden. And in fact, I have a small rotating composter. And if I find worms in the garden or sometimes after it rains, you might actually find them on your driveway. I will pick them up and I will put them in the compost. I mean, worms are one of the best things you can have for your garden. Because their casings are amazing fertilizer and it helps break up the soil and it helps aerate them. These things, they destroy healthy soil and threaten ecosystems. And there is no way to solve them right now. They are either red or brown. Sometimes they even have like a metallic sheen to them, 6 inches long, and jump as high as a foot in the air. I don't know why they would do that. Not such a problem in our gardens, but in the forest, ecologists say they're bad because they eat all of the organic nutrients in the soil. Because you can always augment your soil in the garden and your planting beds. But you can't do that in a forest. And it's really... really kind of frightening when you think about it. Dr. Emil DeVito talked with our Jen Ursillo about this, and the story is at NJ1015.com, including some photos of what these things look like. And he said, it's unfortunate that we're importing species from all over the world that are doing tremendous harm to our ecosystems, and there's nothing that we can do about it. So now they're looking into where these worms came from, and trying to see if there are fungi or viruses or bacteria or other microorganisms that could potentially control them. Well, I think that's a little frightening too. Because not only do we now have these worms, but now you're going to bring in microorganisms from another biological system to try to control them. That might be worse than the actual worms. It's 8:15 on New Jersey 101.5. Weird things you found in your garden. We'll get an update of weather and traffic. Bob and Jill and Dan standing by in 3 minutes. It's 8:15. Good morning.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
It is 8:22 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. 1-800-283-1015 is the number to join. Coming up at 8:30, why are the ICE detainees on a hunger strike in Newark? Jen is going to have the latest on that story, and then we're going to revisit that. A lot of you have had some questions about what Senator Andy Kim may or may not have found when he was at Delaney Hall over the weekend. And there's certainly a lot of blowback over the fact that Mikey Sherrill picked Memorial Day, a day to honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice in the U.S. military for our freedom, to go to Delaney Hall for her big political stunt. And we'll talk a little bit more about that after Jen gives us the latest update at 8:30. I just want to wrap up with some of your comments, and because I love this comment from Ken in Red Bank. He goes, good morning. I've heard that life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. I have not heard that phrase before, but I am absolutely going to steal it and use it. And I don't know why, but Bill and I were talking about this last week, just before the long holiday weekend and before he jetted off to London, is that it just seems like every year, you know, we were complaining about that big winter storm, and then, bam, all of a sudden, it's the Memorial Day weekend, summer unofficially begins, and it's going to be 4th of July before you know it, then it's going to be Labor Day, and then it's going to be fall. Which I'm okay with it being fall, because it is my favorite time of year in New Jersey. And then we'll wrap up this conversation about the invasive bugs that we have in our garden. And I'm sure you've had them too. And two of the best suggestions, ladybugs and praying mantis. I would love to know if there's any place in New Jersey where I could go to buy praying mantis and or ladybugs, because they do eat the pests in the garden. The healthiest vegetable garden we ever had was the year when we had, I don't even want to call it an infestation, and I don't know, are they a flock or are they a herd of praying mantis? And these grew, they must have been eating everything off of the tomato plants that were a pest, because there were a couple of them that were huge. I assumed, maybe incorrectly, that they lived year over year. But I guess they hatch around this time of year, and then they just grow bigger. I'm fascinated by the praying mantis. They are such cool creatures and so beneficial for your garden. And, you know, we've seen them, you know, green, we've seen them yellow, we've seen them brown. I haven't seen any around this year. But the one year that we had the biggest yield in our garden, and our tomato plants were almost 6 feet tall, I had to have somebody come and actually tie them up with big stakes because they were that heavy. But that was the healthiest our garden ever was. So I don't know where we could go to buy them. There's got to be somewhere that you can purchase them, or ladybugs, because that would be the best solution, right? Let nature just kind of take its course. But that's, so if you know where I could go to buy ladybugs or to buy praying mantis, or is it manti, let me know. Drop me a comment on the app chat or give me a call. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit more after 8:30 about what happened at Delaney Hall. And you're going to hear from Senator Andy Kim in his own voice, because he did gain access to Delaney Hall. It was Mikey Sherrill who was denied access. That's what makes me believe completely that this was nothing more than a political stunt. because she knew she wasn't going to get access. And Senator Kim, love him or hate him, actually made the call to DHS and said, hey, listen, I've gotten complaints. I'm going to show up there on Monday. I want to double check. Am I going to have access to the facility? And they said, yes, you will have access. And he did. She did not. It's 827 on New Jersey 101.5. Jen has that as part of her news, weather, and traffic update coming up in 3 minutes. And then what are your thoughts on this? And what should be done now with the protesters who clashed with ICE? I think ICE showed tremendous restraint. 827 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. It is 8:38 now on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us tomorrow, 1-800-283-1015. A lot of you have been asking questions on the app chat about the Delaney Hall incident in Newark, where you had members of New Jersey's congressional delegation joined by Governor Mikey Sherrill in an attempt to get in and look at what they are terming as inhumane conditions. About 300 detainees in that facility have been on a hunger strike since Friday. And you had two very different things. There were protesters that were there. Now, how many were organic protesters and how many were, actors, crisis actors that had been bussed in? We don't know yet. There was Senator Andy Kim, who contacted the Department of Homeland Security and apparently spoke directly with Mark Wayne Mullins and said, hey, listen, I've heard some bad things about Delaney Hall. I want to exercise my right as a member of Congress to examine and inspect Delaney Hall for my own edification. Will I be allowed access? And he was allowed access to Delaney Hall. Now, apparently Mikey Sherrill has also asked, and they refused to grant her access. She knew she was going to be denied access to Delaney Hall. She has no statutory oversight authority of that federal facility at all. And it was simply a political stunt on Memorial Day, by the way. And we've heard from a number of veterans and veterans groups who are like, hey, that was one of the worst things that you could be doing on Memorial Day, especially since she is a veteran. 1-800-283-101.5 is our telephone number. What do you think about that? And what do you think should be done with those protesters? I believe in peaceful protest. But I also think that one of the things that was intended by Governor Sherrill and possibly the Democratic members of Congress who showed up there was to encourage the protesters. And I think ICE did an amazing job at showing restraint with those protesters, even though there was either pepper spray or tear gas or mace or some type of respiratory irritant that was released as the protesters started to really confront. And in some of the video that you've seen on social media, they were throwing things at ICE agents. That's not acceptable. Peaceable protest? Absolutely. That? Not acceptable. Harry in Cranford, you're on New Jersey 101.5. Did you watch all of this, Harry? What did you think about it?
I saw it a little on the news. Just so you know, I was on before. I'm running for governor in 2029 as a Republican. And I think Mikey Sherrill, she's just showing what a disaster she is, making such an issue that she's showboating at a time when there's so many things that are needed in New Jersey that she just ignores and isn't even interested in anything. I think she'll be easy to defeat in 2029 with this kind of stuff going on. To her, New Jersey is just a stepping stone. That's all it is.
Well, I think she's shown, Harry, in a lot of her actions recently that she has her eyes set beyond New Jersey, right? And, you know, yes, Mikey Sherrill, she is your affordability governor. She was elected on the idea that she was going to make things more affordable for you. that she was going to bring down your utility rates, stabilize property taxes, increase school funding, make it easier for everyday families to not just survive in New Jersey, but actually thrive. And look, it's early in her tenure, but I don't know if your life is any more affordable. I mean, and she draws the battle lines with the Trump administration over reasons that I understand that's your political agenda. But can you fix New Jersey first and stop just blaming the Trump administration? I mean, look at what happened with this idea of rolling back at least a percentage, if not all, of the state gas tax. Now, you will remember during the pandemic, it was Democrats in New Jersey who were talking about suspending a portion of the gas tax in order to give people some relief. Mikey Sherrill had the opportunity to do that. She did the cost-benefit analysis on that politically and decided it was better for her politically to blame Donald Trump for high gas prices because of the war with Iran, which definitely is a causation of it, than to actually roll back the gas tax or suspend a portion of it until things settled down and gas prices started organically dropping again. That's the decision the affordability governor, Mikey Sherrill, made. And then on Memorial Day, she decided that she was going to pull this political stunt at Delaney Hall in Newark. Bob in Avenel, you're on New Jersey 101.5. What's your view on that protest?
On that protest, you're protesting the wrong facilities.
Okay.
Okay. In New Jersey, the state prisons and county jails are in deplorable conditions. They're being sued left and right. They have the people there. They're the employment of guards is down. Bad food. Bad restrooms. And how come Pallone, Kim, Booker, and Cheryl aren't going down there to investigate the terrible conditions there? Take the log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, that's something that she has oversight of, right? She has no oversight of Delaney Hall, but that fits the Trump bad mantra. ICE bad, Trump bad. That is their mantra. And you are right about the number of lawsuits against state and county facilities, which is something that she could actually impact. Thanks for raising that point and curious that she has done nothing about that. It's 8:45 on New Jersey 101.5. Something to say? 1-800-283-1015. Drop me a comment on the app chat. What were they actually protesting? We'll have more on that in 3 minutes on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
From Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero's weather to traffic that explains what's happening, a powerful local newsroom and conversations you actually care about, New Jersey 101.5 keeps you informed, entertained, and connected all day long.
8:52 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. Hope it doesn't feel too much like a Monday. It is a little bit of a long weekend hangover, though. It's hard doing nothing 3 days in a row. And I would do it again starting tomorrow. 8:53 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us tomorrow. So I want to read you the statement that the Department of Homeland Security issued after everything went down yesterday at Delaney Hall in Newark. According to a spokesperson, after Senator Kim personally called Secretary Mullen, DHS made sure he was allowed inside the facility to conduct his congressional oversight responsibilities. And that is, as a member of Congress, a right and privilege that he enjoys to inspect that facility. He got some calls, said there were things going on there, wanted to see for himself. He is entitled to do that, and he did it the right way by contacting DHS and saying, hey, I'm going to show up there on Monday. I want to make sure that I'm going to be allowed in. Then the DHS spokesperson continues, Governor Sherrill's visit to Delaney Hall is nothing more than a political stunt on Memorial Day when visitation is currently suspended due to riots outside the facility. Now, I take issue with the characterization of the protests as riots, but nonetheless, Cheryl knew she was going to be denied access. Spokesperson continues, all detainees are provided with three meals a day, clean water, clothing, bedding, showers, soap, toiletries. Illegal aliens also have access to phones to communicate with family and lawyers. Certified dietitians evaluate their meals. ICE has higher detention standards than most U.S. prisons that hold actual U.S. citizens. It is a longstanding practice to provide comprehensive medical care from the moment an alien enters ICE custody, including medical, dental, mental health services, and access to medical appointments and 24-hour emergency care. For many illegal aliens, this is the best health care they have received their entire lives. Is it a country club? Nope. Should it be? No. And I think we saw the real Mikey Sherrill yesterday in Newark. She wanted the drama. She wanted the confrontation. She wanted the headlines. It's 8:55 on New Jersey 101.5. The best places to start looking for a new job. Jen has that. News, weather, and traffic in 5 minutes. It's 8:55. Good morning.
Live personalities, local insights, and traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Stay connected with New Jersey 101.5.
The Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app chime time is 9:09. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us tomorrow. Can't wait to hear his story about the massive delays he had. 13-hour delay. On, what was that, Thursday, right? Heading to London to see his daughter. And I couldn't even imagine being on a plane that long going nowhere. I think they sat 3 hours on the tarmac before they got back to the airport. And then they spent the night at the airport. And eventually, I think just before the show was over on Friday morning, they finally were able to go. And here's the thing that I just kept thinking about is that after that 13-hour delay, now you've got a 7.5-hour flight ahead of you. I mean, that's a 20, almost 21-hour ordeal to travel. You could have gone to Australia in the amount of time that it took to get to London. That is just insane. So I can't wait to talk to him about that tomorrow. I do want to give a big shout out to the Wildwood Police Department for shutting down another one of these pop-up parties. And I think the towns are finally starting to get this figured out. And when we talked to one of the local police chiefs last week on Jersey Thing, one of the things that he said is, look, we've got a dedicated division in our detective bureau where we are scouring social media looking for these pop-up parties. We are contacting the organizers. We're getting support from the New Jersey State Police now and from our local prosecutor's office, cease and desist letters. And there was what was being promoted on social media as baddies, bottles, and bikinis at the Shore Home in Wildwood on Memorial Day weekend, and cops got wind of it, and they showed up at the house. Now, the owner of the house said it was rented on one of the Airbnb platforms, supposed to be for, I think, 5 or 6 people. There were 15 people there, and they on the Wildwood Police Department Facebook page, there's a photo of the officers standing on the front porch, knocking on the door, basically saying, hey, whatever you're thinking about here, knock it off. So this is what they wrote on Facebook. With the assistance of the short-term rental property owner, who had no knowledge of the intended use of his rental property, we were able to shut this down. We continue to monitor social media for any additional posts, and due to the vastness of these platforms, ask that the public share with us anything they may find. We strongly urge our short-term rental property owners to be vigilant in screening and monitoring your renters as we proceed through the remainder of the weekend. and let's be honest, through the rest of the season. And in Wildwood, there is a 10 p.m. curfew for minors 17 or under, must be accompanied by a guardian after 10 p.m. And on the Wildwood Boardwalk, backpacks are banned after 8 p.m. Why are you banning backpacks? Well, because that's where the contraband is. You know, that's where they're either putting their weed or their alcohol or, you know, other things that they probably shouldn't have at that point. I think it's really sad that we've gotten to this point where we have to over-regulate our beaches and boardwalks and our shore towns, because there was just a couple of years ago, it got out of hand. I mean, look at what happened at Pier Village just last week. And these are not local kids. These are people that are coming in from out of town. And in the case of Pier Village, at least, we know that they were coming in by train from North Jersey, to the point where they'd started delaying the trains to kind of hold people back so they could get a handle on it. And it's a lack of respect. And we've seen it in other parts of the state where you've had either church carnivals or other types of, you know, family-friendly celebrations that were completely shut down because you had kids coming in, your teens or 20-somethings, from out of town and ruining the event for everyone. I mean, you had the Little League football thing that had to be shut down. Was it in Gloucester County? Because there were problems on a Friday, and they just basically said, all right, for the whole weekend, all the weekend activities are canceled. And I'll be honest, I've talked to parents who have thought about whether they were going to, you know, their 4th of July fireworks or their local lawn fete or whatever, and they've thought about not doing it because of the danger if you get these wilding teens that come rampaging through. They have no respect for police, and they certainly don't have respect for the families that have come out to that. And I don't understand the allure of doing that. You know, trying to get into the mind of a teenager or a 20-something, why would you do that? Are you so desperate for entertainment or something to do that you just want to go ruin a family-friendly event for everybody? I don't understand the psyche of that. It's 9:15 on New Jersey 101.5. What some of the other shore towns are doing and whether these curfews are going to work. Let's talk about that after we get an update of weather and traffic in 3 minutes. It's 9:15 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Your news, your state, your station. Get breaking news, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Sponsored by Hackensack Meridian Health.
It is 9:21 now on New Jersey 101.5. Congratulations to the police department in Wildwood for shutting down a pop-up party before it became a problem. Baddies, bottles, and bikinis was being promoted on Instagram until police showed up at the house that was rented and said, yeah, you're not doing that. If you're a short-term rental owner, I don't know how you prevent that. And the Wildwood police, they were very specific in their press release of saying that the property owner had no knowledge of the intended use of his rental property, and they cooperated and, you know, allowed cops to do what it was that they needed to do. And I think a lot of the police departments are now getting better up and down the shore of monitoring social media when you have so much of this stuff being promoted on Instagram and Facebook and on X, and they're shutting it down, or at least trying to. You know, they had posted, the city of Wildwood, the police department did, they had posted on social media that this event was canceled, but they got word that it was still in process and went and shut it down before it became a problem. And I feel bad for the families that are going down the shore, whether you're day tripping or you're staying there for a week. I mean, imagine that. I mean, it's bad enough that we had terrible weather this weekend. But if this was your check-in down the shore for your beach house, and then, you know, you got one of these pop-up parties happening, you know, that's not fun for anybody. So I'm hoping that more and more proactively, these towns, which now have detectives, and I think some of them are using AI as well, you know, looking for keywords and things like that on social media to give them a heads up. But they've also asked for members of the public to contact them. So if you see something on your Facebook or your Instagram feed or on X or on TikTok or whatever promoting that there is going to be one of these pop-up parties, let the local police know. Give them a call and say, hey, I saw this, and the prosecutor's offices are getting involved now, and they're sending cease and desist orders. And there were some additional laws that were passed that have some parental responsibilities attached to it so the parents can be held responsible if there's damage done. But also, you know, to be able to shut that down and to charge the organizers and to, in some cases, charge them criminally, but also charge them monetarily for police overtime and response and all of that stuff. So it's only going to take a couple of times, I think, for that to happen. And you'll see a tremendous change, hopefully. You know, go somewhere else. You know, just stay away from the Jersey Shore. But the question that I'd asked as we started talking about this before traffic and weather was, I don't understand the mind of a teenager. And I don't understand what joy or reward or positive reinforcement you get when you go and you destroy a family-friendly event. Whether it's a church picnic or a lawn fete or a carnival or just causing issues down the shore. Like when you looked at what was happening at Pier Village, that didn't look like fun to me. And trying to be in the mind of, you know, a teenager, I guess, is just, I don't understand what the gratification of that is. Do you? 1-800-283-1015. And here is the other thing. I made an offhanded remark earlier this morning about the fact that we have these little white mites, bugs that are destroying some of our planting. And they swarm. We have a couple of boxwoods. Actually, the front walk up to our front door is lined with these fairly mature boxwood bushes. And I guess it was last year a listener recommended using neem oil to kill a lot of the pests in the garden because it's safe for the plants, it's safe for the dogs. And when I sprayed these bushes with the neem oil, they came up like a cloud. It looked like fog. That's how many of them there were. And on the app chat, you're all talking about, you know, getting praying mantis, getting ladybugs, getting all of this stuff. And it was Bruno in Bradley Beach who actually sent me a link to a nursery that sells live, beneficial, predatory insects. So I've gone down that rabbit hole now this morning of looking at all of the different things that you can buy that are beneficial bugs for your garden. And I'm absolutely fascinated by this. I'm looking at a special blend of predatory mite mix, which targets spider mites, thrips, broad mites, white flies, and more. And it comes in what looks like this cardboard shaker. And it comes into in the mail. And then you just sprinkle it on your plants or into the soil. And then these mites, and in this one container, there's 10,000 of these little mites. Then they go to work up into your plant, and they eat all of the bad insects and save your plants. I think that's awesome. It's 927 on New Jersey 101.5. I may order this because I want to give it a try, see if it works. Certainly better for the environment, right? 927 on New Jersey 101.5. Another shore town has imposed a very strict juvenile curfew. Jen has the details in 3 minutes. It is on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back with us tomorrow. And I have totally gone down the rabbit hole looking at beneficial insects and just other creatures. And I love this one website that I'm on. something's eating your garden, we have something that will eat it. And basically, it's an entire website and nursery that is dedicated towards providing you with beneficial insects. So there's even a little quiz in there. You tell them what it is that you are dealing with, and they'll tell you what it is that you need. So, for example, you can buy 150 ladybugs for $25, which I think is great. And then there's a couple of other things. Now, I've heard of mites before, but I thought mites were bad because I was thinking of, you know, like spider mites and the white mites and things like that. But apparently there are some very beneficial mites that will eat the things that are attacking your plants. Things like spider mites, and I've never heard of a thrip. I don't know what a thrip is. Broad mites, white flies, and more. And it's the white flies that I'm having an issue with at our house. And then I'm going deeper and deeper and deeper. So grubs, which become the Japanese beetles, which also will destroy a lot of your plantings, they have beneficial insects that you put into your yard or into your soil that will eat the grub larvae. They'll eat fleas. They'll eat ticks. They'll eat all this. Nature's amazing when you think about it. Because how much money do we spend on an annual basis on chemicals and things like that that we are putting into our soil and onto our property to be able to try to kill bugs and other pests? Now, I stopped doing that in my backyard years ago because of the dogs. So I don't put anything down. I will use very natural, organic fertilizers that will green up the grass. Although, as you can imagine, you know, having two dogs, I gave up. The dog spots are just what they are. Side yard, front yard, you know, that front facing, I'll take care of that, and I will occasionally use a chemical there. But we have terrible problems every year with the Japanese beetles. And I get the Japanese beetle traps and hang them in some of the pine trees that are in the backyard. In a day or two, the bags are filled with dead beetles. And you got to empty the bag, I'm told, because eventually the beetles will start to rot and then they won't, you know, be attracted to the trap anymore. And then we started this whole holistic battle against deer. So, you know, I've started planting in my not just the garden beds, but in all of the landscaping, anything that's in like an onion family. I'll plant rosemary bushes. I just got a couple of rosemary bushes. The scent tends to deter the deer. I mean, look, if they get hungry enough, they'll eat anything. And then I get these deer pucks that I order off of Amazon that have like blood meal and coyote urine in them. They last for about 3 months. And again, they're safe for the dogs. Safe for the dogs. Holly loves them. I have to either hang them from a tree or I have to bury them into the landscaping because Holly will go and she'll chew the plastic apart and then roll in the blood meal and the coyote urine. That is not a great solution. But that has been pretty successful. So sage is another thing that a master gardener told us to plant in and around our landscaping because they're green and it looks nice, but the scent tends to deter the deer. And I remember asking a gardener one time, I said, well, what actually prevents the deer? There is nothing. There's no such thing as a deer-proof plant. There's no such thing as a deer preventer. If they get hungry enough, they're coming into your yard. So I usually just have the hope that between the dogs, between the multiple layers of deterrence that we have, and we've generally not had a problem, and the fact that I have at least one or two neighbors that don't do anything, their yards are far more attractive to the deer than my yard. But this whole idea of ordering beneficial insects, I haven't yet found a place where I can order the praying mantis. But there's also something called a nematode. I've never heard of this before. But a nematode is another beneficial insect, kind of like a parasite that won't bother you and won't bother your pets, but will kill fleas, grubs, gnats. I'm going to give this a try. I'm going to give it a try and see if it works. And if it doesn't work, I'm out like $25, and then we'll see the different layers of prevention. Kills over 200 different species of soil-dwelling and wood-boring insects. I think that is awesome. Oh, Gary in Colts Neck. Yes, thank you for calling in. Yes, boxwoods, right? Deer don't eat those.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm in a deer infested. I've been landscaping for 40 years. I've never, ever seen any deer, even the baby ones, ever eat boxwood. So that's the only one that I could tell you is bulletproof. The problem is now with the boxwoods, they're starting to get some bugs on them.
Yes.
So that's the only problem we're having some issues with. But they need to be sprayed. Even the green giant arbs, they are deer-resistant. Leland cypress, deer-resistant. But after having a bad snow cover winter, the deer will eat those. So, but the boxwood itself, I've never ever seen a deer eat them.
Well, I got to tell you, Gary, I mean, you got to look up the predatory insects, because that's where the white flies are, is on our boxwoods.
Correct.
And this predatory mite mix, you just sprinkle it onto your boxwood, and it goes through and it eats all of those white flies.
Yes.
In theory. I'm going to give it a shot. I mean, I would much rather. Hey, Gary, thanks for calling New Jersey 101.5. I'm going to give it a shot because what do you got to lose? And, you know, isn't that a much better solution? I mean, nature takes care of itself. We are, after all, the Garden State. It's 9:45 on New Jersey 101.5. We'll get an update of weather and traffic in 3 minutes. Good morning.
Want to save money, go green, and build smarter? The Energy Show with Ron Urban is coming to New Jersey 101.5. Ron breaks down green building, renewable energy, energy efficiencies, and the latest trends that can benefit your home and your business. Catch the one-hour premiere Sunday, June 7th at 7 a.m. Then join us every Sunday morning at 7:30 right here on New Jersey 101.5. Learn more at energyshowradio.com and newjersey1015.com.
It's 9:52 on New Jersey 101.5. You know, they say every day you should try to learn something new. And I learned all about predatory mites and the beneficial role they may have in your garden. I will say that I was taken a little bit aback because I'm reading through this. So the number three point on this website is you probably won't see them. Predatory mites are smaller than a grain of salt. Most people can't spot them with the naked eye. Phone cameras can't focus close enough to catch them. That is expected. So then how do you know that they're actually in there? How do you know that they are working? So that's apparently a very common question. If your pest population drops over a period of 1 to 2 weeks, they are working. And if not, email us and we'll see what we can do. But it's I ordered this now, so hopefully it will be here. It says once the order is processed, they ship overnight. So I'll have them, I think, this week and then heading into the weekend. So I'll have to take a video when they get here, and see if that works. But I guess I can't put the neem oil on the plants anymore, because I would assume the neem oil would kill the mites.
How many did you order?
I ordered 10,000.
Oh, my God.
I ordered 10,000 mites, and that's enough to cover about 20 pots. So we'll see. I don't know. I could be pest-free. It is 9:54 on New Jersey 101.5. Judy and EJ are coming up next. Bill is back tomorrow. We'll see you at 6 a.m. on New Jersey 101.5. Have a great day.